And we're back, Stripe Show Podcast. I'm your host, Travis Fulton. Thank you for making us part of your day. Big week in professional golf, the United States Open at Pinehurst, number two, great spot. Scottie Scheffler, probably going to win by five, but we're going to watch anyway and see if anybody can come up and knock down the number one player in the world. What a run of golf we are seeing right now from Scottie Scheffler. I was looking at some of the stats here. And you go back to strokes gained approach. Strokes gained approach at the Memorial. Scottie Scheffler gained 13 strokes. Oh, wow. Plus 13 strokes gained approach with his iron game at the Memorial. I mean, that is unbelievable. He lost 1.1 around the greens. Made a triple bogey. I don't know. I mean, if Scottie Scheffler stays out of jail in Pinehurst, which I'm going to say that he will, I think he's going to win the U.S. Open by four or five. I mean, who's going to beat this guy? Drives it well. You know, accuracy plays out at Pinehurst number two. Obviously, the approach game. I mean, his short game is, I mean, he struggled for his standards with his short game, and he's usually one of the best short game, if not the best short game player in the world. And then his putting, it's on the uptick. He's putting much better. Positive 1.6 with the flat stick at Memorial, positive 3.5 at Charles Schwab. Pretty much right at average at PGA, where he finished eighth, won the RBC, gained 0.1. Won the Players, gained 1.2 at the flat stick. Won Arnold Palmer, gained 4.3. I mean, his putting's improving. His putting is getting better. He's now probably better than average with the flat stick on the PGA Tour. And so if he comes out and he just is Scottie Scheffler and he hits fairways and his short game is solid, and he continues to putt the way that he is, he's going to win the United States Open. I mean, Pinehurst is perfect for him. Great spot, by the way. If you've never been to Pinehurst, you should go check it out. I went up there about 3 years ago with some buddies and played. We basically played golf for three straight days until I had to tap out on the second 18 of the third day where I just couldn't swing anymore. Really enjoyed number two, obviously championship golf course. Really enjoyed number seven, number nine, very unique place in comparison to the other ones. And then I think they've redone four, which I hear is really good. And so it's just a fantastic spot. The Cradle, the par three course is fun. Go check it out if you've never been. Going to be a great week. United States Open, get the boys back in town. Everybody's there. Got Liv, PGA Torfo, and all that, and we'll see if anybody can take this guy down. I mean, he is on quite the heater right now. What is this? Five wins in the calendar year. He's got five first place finishes, 2 seconds, an eighth, and a tenth. Oh, wow. What a run. Now, keep in mind, everybody's like, well, this is what Tiger did. Well, I mean, Tiger won six straight. I think Tiger did that a couple times. So we're not quite to Tiger level yet, but my God, I didn't think we'd ever get this close. And today's podcast is all things Scottie Scheffler. And really, it's all things about the detail in which he puts in his grip. I don't think there's another player on the PGA Tour and professional golf that spends more time in the way that he applies both hands so delicately, so strategically, so perfectly than Scottie Scheffler. Every single time. He has a training grip on one of his clubs that he pretty much uses, I think, every day or, you know, at least a couple days a week. And it just kind of reinforces exactly where he wants the grip to be in his hand. So I thought today, you know, why not kind of share some of the things that I see with Scottie Scheffler's grips and how it might apply to you. I was texting with his longtime coach, Randy Smith, who's been on the podcast a couple of times, and he's always a great teacher to listen to. You know, kind of an old school teacher using some of the modern technology, but Scottie Scheffler is an old school player. I mean, this is a guy that's not getting wired up in 3D every month, that is hitting shots and then quickly looking at the launch monitor after every single shot, trying to hit positions on his phone. I mean, he's not that kind of player. Now, I think Scotty uses some technology. I think he wants to see how far the ball is going every time he hits it, and he wants to manage, obviously, his distance control. But this is a guy that knows enough. And then, you know, I think in many ways kind of digs it out of the dirt. And basically, I think is kind of a field player with some simple checkpoints along the way. One of them, I think, is making sure the club face is in a good position at the top of the swing. First time I talked to Randy, I kind of walked away getting the feeling that at times Scotty would get the face a little too open, and they were trying to get it just a little bit more shut, and then off he goes, right? But very, very straightforward stuff here. No secret. One of the things that influences the club face is the grip, and I want to put Scotty Scheffler's grip back up here. When you watch Scotty Scheffler put his hands on the club, when I look at that grip right there, I would classify that as about a neutral grip. His left thumb is slightly right of center for a full swing here. For those just listening, for those watching, you can see the picture of Scheffler's grip. Left thumb just slightly right of center. That V between the thumb and the first finger, index finger pointing, say, right ear, just slightly right of the chin. And then you can see the right hand pretty much matches up to it. Now, there's a way to kind of organize all this and a way to, I think, make sure that the grip is running in what I would deem the right angle in not only the left hand, but the right hand. I'm going to play a video here. This video comes from my Total Driving online digital program, one of my training programs that you can purchase and kind of follow along with. And one of the things that I've really tried to kind of pride myself with my instruction is not only give students great information, but put it in the right order and really create videos where people can follow along. And I think when you watch Scotty in the way that he applies his grip, I think in many ways, you can almost kind of follow along. It's that deliberate. It's that detailed. And so I'm going to play this grip, and then we're going to come back here on the backside, and I'm going to share with you what I think are a couple really important. Number one, I like to see the grip sit diagonal here, as you can see in the left hand, not in the base, but diagonal, and then kind of wrap over on top. And then the right hand, you can see here, these middle three fingers, once again, diagonal, not in the base, diagonal, and then covering up that left thumb. I think it's really important that that left thumb fits in the lifeline, and then you cover it up, and you can see how that right thumb goes to the other side. Now, all right, so let's start with the left hand for a right-handed player. I'm going to play the first part of this again, then I'm going to pause it. Good. Number one, I like to see the grip sit diagonal here. Okay, so diagonal in the left hand. Now, I want you to notice for those that are watching and for those just listening, if you were to put a club down in front of you and you were to take your left hand, your glove hand, and you were to get the back of your left hand facing the target, okay, and then run the grip along the fingers more diagonally, starting out there kind of towards the first joint of your index finger, running along kind of diagonally towards the palm, not in the palm, towards the palm, just under the heel pad. And then from there, with that angle, you would grip it.
as you can see in the left hand, not in the base.
Not in the base. Okay, so basically what I've done there is I've taken the back of my left hand and now I'm angling down towards the ground. And it's running along the base of my fingers. It's not diagonal. It's along the base. I don't like it so much in the base. Or even towards, more towards the tips of the fingers. You see, sometimes people will grip it even out towards the middle of the fingers. I like it running more diagonal. When I watch Scottie Scheffler, I'm seeing someone gripping it more diagonal.
But diagonal, and then kind of wrap over.
And then you wrap over, right? So it runs diagonal, and now from there you can kind of wrap over. We don't have to go way over. The more you move the left hand on top, the more you move it over, the more the left thumb is down the right-hand side of the grip. That would be a stronger grip, okay? A stronger grip, the more you move your left hand to the right, is going to influence the club face to be more closed. That is one way to get the club face closed, okay? Scotty, I think, is more neutral. I think Scotty's left thumb is just slightly right of center. If the left thumb was down the middle, then that would be weaker, like a Colin Morikawa who's playing great golf right now. So that left thumb just slightly right. Now, the second thing that I like there with the left hand is notice how there's no gap between the thumb and the index finger. See that upper part of the thumb, that crease? There's no gap in there. I like that. I love the idea of diagonal. I love the idea then of the heel pad on top slightly with the left thumb slightly right of center. And I love the idea then of kind of a short thumb. And when you look at that left hand, and I take that off for a second, and I bring back in Scotty, you can see if he took his right hand off, like that's pretty much where he's at. If he looked down, he probably could see the first knuckle, maybe part of the second.
On top. And then the right hand, you can see here, these middle three fingers, once again, diagonal.
Okay, so let's go back to that. Once again, diagonal. I'm going to back that up just a little bit.
Again, diagonal, not in the base.
Okay, so diagonal, again, not in the base. So it's diagonal across the middle three fingers of the trail hand. Let me back that up one more time here for those.
These middle three fingers, once again.
So notice where I have that. Okay, it's starting out towards the first joint, once again, of the index finger of the right hand, and then it's running at an angle across the middle finger, into the ring finger of the right hand, and then, you know, from there, that diagonal, I'm going to grip it from there rather than in the base. I think this is the more overlooked aspect of Scotty's attention to his grip. I think it's understood that he's really paying attention to his left hand, but I think he's equally paying attention to his right hand. I was texting with Randy Smith, his longtime coach, last night, and I was just asking him, I was like, is he doing something in particular or trying to avoid a mistake? And he's like, no, he's just making sure that in the right part of the hands, everything feels secure, and that really then solidifies his awareness of the club face and the club head. And those are two different things. More on that in a second, club face and club head. But the right hand, diagonal.
Diagonal, not in the base. Diagonal, and then covering up that left.
When you run it diagonal, you can then allow the left thumb to fit into the lifeline of the right hand. It matches up beautifully. That thumb will fit in the crease, and then from there, you can let the right thumb climb to the other side. I get the feeling that when Scotty applies his grip, he does not want to see that left thumb at all. He wants that left thumb covered up in the lifeline of the right hand, but he's not covering the left thumb up by rotating his right forearm, elevating his right shoulder. He's not really getting on top with the forearm, the arm, the shoulder. Very specifically, diagonal, middle three fingers, left thumb in the lifeline, and then just let the right thumb climb over and cover up that left thumb.
I think it's really important that that left thumb fits in the lifeline, and then you cover it up. and you can see how that right thumb goes to the other side. Now,
so you look at that and you bring in Mr. Scheffler. And you can see there it is. Right hand covers it up. Again, kind of a short thumb, no gap between the thumb and the first finger. Both of those V's just right of the chin. Very neutral grip. Very specifically running it diagonal in both hands. Short thumbs. Left thumb covered up by the right hand. Left thumb's right in that lifeline. Those are some of the, I think, specifics, if you will, that I think Scotty is kind of checking along as he basically goes through a very deliberate process before every shot. Bob Tway used to do that. Bob Tway was another professional that would really spend time on his grip. I think the key is to find a significant other that looks at you the way Scotty Scheffler looks at his grip. Find a significant other that treats you the way that Scotty Scheffler so elegantly treats his grip. The details of the grip. A couple things here on the grip before we go to his full swing, or excuse me, before we go to his putting grip. I mentioned a stronger grip. The more you move your hands to the right, the stronger the grip. Scotty's more neutral. Both V's say just slightly right of the chin. Stronger would be kind of V's towards the right shoulder. Weaker V's to the chin. The function of the grip, number one, obviously your connection to the club, but it also is going to influence the club face angle. Generally speaking, the stronger the grip, the more the club face will close. You could make a statement that, hey, if you miss the ball to the right for a right-handed player, if you slice it to the right, then turn your grip to the right. Make your grip stronger. That would be one way. Now, there's more to it in the efficiency of the club face and the delicacy of the club face, the angle of the club face, because you have to factor in wrist angles too. Wrist angles. Are you taking it back and are you cupping the lead wrist? Are you extending the lead wrist or are you more towards flexion? You have to factor in wrist angles and match it up to the grip type to achieve the club face angle that you're looking for. I did a pod, about a month ago, and I was trying to give you some things to think about as you were heading into the season. And one of them was the club face angle. Is your club face prepared? Is your club face prepared to do what you want to do? Is it too open or is it too closed? And so if it's not where you want it, then you have to start to factor in what do you want to do with the grip / wrist angles to get the club face in the position that you want it. These are the things that I go through every time I look at a golf swing. I'm always paying attention to the club face, probably first and foremost every time. If it needs attention, then you got to give attention to the grip like Scotty does and or wrist angles. The other thing that a grip change could influence is what you want the pitch of the club shaft to do, say, coming down. Right. Oftentimes you can influence what the club shaft is doing, how the club head is moving in transition or even at the top of the swing. And so those are things that you would consider as well. And I don't want to get too far into the weeds here because I want to spend some time on the putting grip. But these are kind of the things that you look at. For me, I always look at it as kind of the big three. It's like number one is the club face. Number two is the club head. And number three is the club shaft. Right. Those are kind of the big three. And I'm always thinking about whether or not we want to influence one of those or two of those or all of those. Right. And where you go with the grip and the wrist angles is going to be a big part of that. I think that the takeaway here, and when you look at grips, is the grip a fundamental? I don't know if you can say it's a fundamental in golf because there's so many different types of grips. You know, it's hard to kind of hang your hat in golf, especially with the Twitter police. Is, oh, well, he did it that way. So obviously it can be done. Well, like I get that there's always outliers, right? But, you know, look, I think I always try to speak to the masses. I always try to speak to that 85%, as I call it, those that are not going to show up on a lesson tee, those that want to get better. And those that, you know, kind of consume content. You're listening to my podcast, which I appreciate. And so I think the takeaway here is again, is your club face in position for you to succeed and to develop? Or are you always trying to overcome your club face position? Is your club face too open and you're always trying to close it? Is your club face too closed and you're always trying to fight it off? And the grip has a big part of that. I love the diagonal nature of the grip. It reminds me of when Tiger went to Hank. I've talked to Hank about this. Hank Haney, that is. Hank got the grip more towards his palm, more diagonal, less in the fingers. And so it reminds me a little bit of that. The grip is a very important piece of the puzzle. I spend time on the grip if needed, but I'm always kind of factoring the grip in with wrist angles as well. I think generally speaking, for those that are listening, if you got the grip like this for Scotty, if you got it relatively neutral and then you took it back and you kept the face square and then you rotate it to the top, you extend the right wrist, flatten out the left wrist a little bit. For some, that feels a little towards flexion. Like generally speaking, that's going to help most players. I still see some weaker grips. Weaker grips factored with a lot of extension in the lead wrist is job security. Club face is wide open. Club shaft is vertical. Easy fixes. I see a fair amount of really strong grips, but then a lot of extension in the lead wrist to try to open up the face some. I see that player a lot steep and from the inside in transition where they kind of pull down. The club head's still pitched back, but it's kind of steep and narrow. They get the very high handle at impact, hit a lot of blocks and hooks. And so that might be one where you start to weaken the grip a little bit so you can start taking some of that extension out of the lead wrist. So these are some of the conversations that you have. But I think it's interesting just how the number one player in the world spends so much time on making sure that the grip is perfect. Now let's go to the putting grip, because I think this putting grip has changed some as well with the help of Phil Kenyon. Now, this is, I think, kind of in the early stages. I think Scotty's has kind of stood up a little bit taller since this video. But let's just talk about this grip. I like this grip a lot. This is, I think, kind of a stock grip that I would show most amateurs. There's different ways to go about it that you would suggest at certain times. But what the first thing you're going to notice is that left hand is much weaker. You're going to see that the thumb is more on top of the grip. You're going to see that V is pointing towards his chin or maybe just left of his chin. You're also going to see that his right hand fingers have climbed up underneath the index finger of his left hand. That's kind of a reverse overlap grip. I like that. I like the weaker nature of the left hand in putting relative to the full swing. That grip is definitely more towards the palm, if not in the palm. I can't tell if it's in the lifeline. I would think that it's probably not just exactly in the lifeline, but actually kind of in the center of that pad, just to the bottom side. You know, I'm going to try to put this up there. So here's the lifeline right here. So on that pad right there, it's kind of running into that pad, but definitely weaker. But then notice his right hand fingers up underneath that index finger of the left hand. The biggest thing here, all right, with this grip is that right hand. And this is, I'm telling you, in the 25 years I've been teaching, if there's one thing that I have showed amateur golfers that has helped their putting the most, it's by positioning that right hand more to the side, where those fingers on the left hand that are on the grip, like those knuckles, are touching the lifeline of his right hand. So you're imagine the lifeline of your right hand sitting more to the side of the grip and kind of in on that knuckle, like the pushing in on the center knuckle, the middle finger of the left hand. What his right hand is not is his right hand is not too high. It's not too much on top. There's wiggle room in here. I think Tiger's right hand might be a shade higher than where Scotty's is. But generally speaking, I like that right hand kind of more down to the side, underneath per se, on that knuckle. Now, what that does is it allows that right forearm to soften. It gets that right forearm softer. You don't get so dominant with that right arm. I don't like that right arm dominant in the full swing or putting. I like that right elbow, in fact, soft, kind of tucked down and pinching in towards the ribcage. I think that was an adjustment for Scotty, one of the adjustments that has been made. And I think initially in doing that, Scotty was more bowed forward. I think since that he stood up a little bit, put a little more length in his arms. But I think that grip, a little different. He went to the fatter grip. And these types of things that we're talking about, I think, you know, became part of the checklist. I don't know that exactly. Just my observation. And it's work. I mean, there's no doubt. There is no doubt Scotty at this point is putting the ball much better. Right thumb, I would say, is on the grip, kind of sharing the grip with the left thumb. Now, you remember in the full swing, your left hand's kind of rotated over more. Your left thumb's down the right-hand side. Your left thumb fits in the lifeline. Your right thumb climbs the other side. Here in putting, like, your thumbs kind of share the top of the grip. And so that grip there, to me, there's a few things there. One is like the palms look adjacent to each other. They look like they're kind of facing each other. Thumbs sharing the top of the grip. The top of the wrists, I think, are more towards ulnar deviation, which means if I'm going to kind of go here, like more down this way, down, like uncocking downward versus radial deviation, which is cocking the wrist. I think this grip suggests more ulnar. When you get towards more ulnar, now you can tuck the right elbows. Your forearms become more, let's say, in line with the putter shaft. Again, you don't have to do all these things to be great putters, but this is what I would say I'm going to kind of lean towards for the masses. Certainly has helped Scotty. And I think, you know, with your forearms matching, your elbows soft, that's going to then get your shoulders to work a little bit differently. And so there's just kind of this chain reaction that goes up. And so there's kind of the putting grip for Scotty. And I think some of the, you know, maybe some of the things that could maybe help your putting. And I think it's very interesting in the left hand. And when I look at Justin Thomas, who has struggled with this putting, I think Justin Thomas would be one that it'd be interesting to get him to weaken his left hand. Not be so, you know, strong and in the fingers. Justin Thomas's grip always strikes me more in the fingers, you know, maybe less in the palm, and particularly the left hand. Right hand soft, underneath, elbow soft, right forearm more on plane. Jack Nicklaus, one of the best putters of all time. That forearm soft, that right elbow on the same plane as a putter shaft. I think that helps most. I really do. I know it does. I've watched it for 25 years. But it's not for everybody. There's some listening to this and say, well, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do anything. But you got to hang your hat on something for the masses. And I think this is one where I would kind of lean with putting. And it certainly has made a nice difference in Scotty Scheffler's in his putting. His putting's moving the right way. My goodness, if Scotty Scheffler starts gaining +3 in putting, +4 in putting, turn out the lights. Turn out the lights. Strokes gain approach, +13. What? +13 at the Memorial. Wow. That is dominant. I got to tell you, I am, you know, I think about this stuff and I think Brooks and DJ and Cam Smith, Bryson going to live, there's no question has made it easier on the PGA Tour. There's no question, right? I mean, it's made it easier. Does that mean it's easy? No, it doesn't. But it's made it easier for a player like Scotty to come in there and have the kind of year that he is. But I get the feeling even if those guys were there, I don't think anything changes. Maybe it does. Maybe he doesn't win one of them, you know. He just looks that much better than everybody else. That much better than everybody else. He made a triple bogey for crying out loud and still opened up a four-shot lead on Saturday. Just laboring around on Sunday. Didn't even have his best. Colin Morikawa played beautifully. Still wins. You know, and that's the sign of a Hall of Fame player is when you are not only do you have no weaknesses now, but you can mentally grind and toughen it out when you don't have your A game and still win. You know, that to me, like Tiger was so great in hitting on all cylinders. There was a video, and I'll finish with this. There was a video that the PGA Tour posted of his second shot over the years at Memorial. These second shots, these two irons coming in from like 245 yards, landing like pitching wedges. You got to watch that video. You got to go back. It was on Saturday. You got to go back and watch this video. Unbelievable, these second shots. And like Tiger could do that, right? Like no one else could do that. And it was just so awesome to watch. But then there were so many times where you just felt like Tiger didn't have his A game. And yet you just knew he was going to win. You know, he was just going to do enough and win. And you're kind of getting that feeling with Scotty now too. You know, what is his odds? 3-1 right now in the U.S. Open. This is absurd. It's crazy. Yes, these guys that went to LIV have, you know, look, the fields aren't as deep. There's no doubt. But you know, Rory's been playing some good golf, got a couple wins. Colin Morikawa is coming. He's playing some good golf. Victor Hovland back with Joe Mayo. He's I think where he needs to be again. Like at the beginning of the year, there was a lot of question marks with every player. You know, Justin Thomas, you know, he's not the same version of himself. Jordan Spieth, not the same version of himself. Ricky Fowler has fallen off again. But yeah, I mean, John Rahm leaving when he was playing well. DJ gone, Brooks gone, Bryson gone. I mean, you know, it certainly has softened the top in some of these signature events. But make no mistake about it. Make no mistake about it. I just feel like even if these guys were there, Scottie Scheffler, he is not only the best player in the world, but he has separated himself considerably. Really special stuff that we're watching. And when you peel it all back, the most important thing that you get the feeling for Scottie Scheffler when he's playing golf is his grip. Is his grip. Good stuff. All right. Thanks for being here. Enjoy the U.S. Open, everybody. We'll be back next week.